messages. I believe in the very first message, I went back and showed how when the angel Gabriel made the announcement to Mary, that he told her what his name would be. His name would be called Jesus, and it would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God made sure that he gave us plenty of advance notice so that when this child was born, we wouldn't have to sit and wonder if our faith was placed in the right place, because he told us about the child and gave us his name before he was ever born. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand hath he hit me, and made me a polished shaft. The Lord kept the secret of Christ and his crucifixion, and how Christ would draw out followers who would be organized into his first New Testament church after his baptism. And Jesus then began to preach, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He was the light of God that God sent to Israel. And not only did God have his son preaching that message, but before his son appeared preaching the message, John first appeared as the messenger who was to announce his arrival. And John the Baptist preached the same thing. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's a message that's a light. It's a light that was meant to strike into the heart of each Israelite who would receive it. It's a message during your lifetime that shines into your heart like an arrow. His word pierces your heart like an arrow. And the light of God shines into your heart, and you're forced to make a choice. I have to receive that light, to believe in that light, to put your faith in the fact that it is light from God, and to trust in Jesus Christ as your only hope to be removed from under the condemnation of God, set free in him, and never again be placed back under God's condemnation. It's a choice that every individual, sooner or later, is faced with. Christ's mouth was like a sharp sword, but God hit him in the shadow of his hand. And what he would do when he came, and what he would preach, and the church he would organize, was hidden from men's view. The fact that Messiah would come wasn't hidden, but what he would do once he came was hidden. But now we know. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's why he came. So that in this assembly, the local assembly, the church, he could give glory to God through his Father. He's like a polished shaft that God prepared, that God raised, that God brought up. And God hit him in his quiver. Quiver was a thing you either wore on your breast with your arrows in it or on your back. When you found a target, you unleashed the arrow. People spend a lot of time wondering about what the best way is to reach the hearts of men and women. It's the delivery of the Word of God, the human eye seeing it, or the human ear hearing it, and the heart, when the arrow comes in, reacting to it as being God's life. And that's God's purpose, for every man to be saved. And he gave the commission to the church. And Christ indwells each church that teaches and preaches the truth. It's quite true he indwells every believer. It's quite true that the moment you repent of your sins and trust Jesus, that he comes to indwell you. When you believe his testimony, his word, and you put your faith in a Christ that you believe is alive, that God sent, and the sharpened arrow, a polished shaft, has done its work, and you've received Christ. I thank God from the depths of my soul that you do not have to join the church to be saved. I thank God from the depths of my soul that you do not have to be baptized to be saved. I thank God that He made it totally by grace. And that when the air of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God pierces your heart, God's beckoning to you to yield to it. I thank God that you're saved by grace through faith. But at the same time, that I know salvation is totally by grace through faith, and that every believer is indwelt with the Spirit of God. I also thank God that He put the local church down here where His Word could be preached and where it could have an effect on the hearts of the hearers. I thank God from the depths of my soul for that. Because the Scripture says of the church concerning Jesus and where He dwells, it says in Ephesians 2:22, "In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." And in every church where believers are gathered that have been obedient to the Lord because they were saved and have been baptized to His death, burial, and resurrection, and to submit their will to God and to serve Him in the place He designated, I thank God that He put the ordinance of baptism down here for that purpose. And I thank God that after we become members of the church, we have an opportunity to serve God in the presence of His Son, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And said unto me, "Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Every lost soul that has ever been saved by the Word of God has given glory to God through Jesus Christ. But every lost soul that has been saved by their belief in Christ, by the Spirit of God, is meant to continue to give glory to God all of his or her life. And the place that God has designated for those of us who are saved to give glory to God is in one of his churches. So after you're saved, you face another choice. Do I want to give glory to God from my life? Do I want to let Christ be the leader and guider of my soul and my heart? Do I want to make an attempt to submit to the will of God and to serve Him faithfully in His church? And that's how God gets glory. God gets glory in response to His Word. And He put the Word down here for a purpose. For Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The church is down here with a commission. By our lives, by our testimony, by our witness, by our conduct, we are to show Christ to the world by our faithfulness to Him. And the Holy Spirit will take that faithfulness and He will convict the people that see it with the error, which is the Spirit of Christ, that they see operating in us. God gave the commission to the church, and that's what God expects the church to do. And that's what this church and all of His churches are supposed to do. Ephesians 3:9-10. God meant for all these things that were hidden in Christ to be brought out in the open so that all might see it when Jesus came into the world and after He was baptized by John, began His earthly ministry. Ephesians 3:9-11. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, to all the fallen angels of Satan, to all the angels of God that chose to follow God rather than Satan, to all the powers and principalities of both darkness and light, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church, the local assembly, the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God was to draw all things together in Christ And it was his purpose through the local church for them to have their lives changed, for their conduct, their behavior, their way of looking at life to change after they were saved and baptized. It's a choice that every human being has to make. And by not making it, you make it. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 7, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, this church, all of them had been saved and scripturally baptized and were meeting and assembling together as a local church at Ephesus as they were at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 2, 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. God gives you a choice to either put your faith in his Son, realizing you must have a Savior because you are sinful, and being saved by calling on his name, believing he is alive. And that is eternal salvation by grace in Christ Jesus. Well, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But what I'm talking about is this. After you're saved, God put the truth in a local church. If a local church doesn't teach the truth, it's not God's church. And if a local church can't get the ordinances of baptism, the Lord's Supper, salvation, and secure the believer right, I have very serious reservations about God accepting it as one of his churches. I'm not a gambler. I don't presume on what God says. And I know that if the church violates the ordinances that he gave, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and they do not believe in securing the believer, that is a church that is not in God's will. And all I can advise you to do, if you know Christ as your Savior, is to come out of it. Luke 2:30-32. We're talking about light. The absence in Israel as a nation has been replaced by the glory of his Son, the Israelite servant. The old man, Simeon, whom God had promised he would not die until he saw the Messiah, had lived to be an extremely old man, should have been dead. But God promised him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And when Jesus came to the temple to be circumcised according to the law of Moses, after 8 days, and Mary and Joseph brought him, Simeon took him and put him up in his arms, and he said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." He kept him hidden, but he's like a sharp sword. And I learned a long time ago, you can't browbeat people into anything. If you'll just preach the word of God, and let that be the sword of God, let that be the power of God, and stay out of it. God will get the results he wants the way he wants them, and not by your constant badgering. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He was that light, but when God brought him into the world, he wasn't hidden anymore. He was certainly not hidden to me. But the first time I saw that light was 60 years ago, sitting on the back row of a church, Baptist church in Batesville, Arkansas. And for the first time in my life, the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit gripped my heart to the extent that I saw my utter helplessness, and I threw myself upon the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, realizing I had no other hope, and asked him to save me. It was 11 years before I was baptized. As I've told you many times, I deeply regret that. But Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So why do I tell you about that so often? I regret it deeply. And I can't go back and undo it. 11 wasted years. And I didn't start serving God till I was 38. I was saved, scripturally baptized. Why do I tell you that so many times? We get tired of hearing it. I'm hoping one day that the same Spirit of God that was merciful to me We'll be merciful to some person who's doing the same thing and won't make the mistake I made in waiting for so long. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, those were the two northernmost tribes of Israel. They were right there by the Gentiles, the Gentiles being anybody that isn't a Jew. They were the two most northern tribes. In Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, the Lord prophesied when this light, the light of the Gentiles, would come into the world. And here's Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, talking about it 700 years before it happened. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as in her vexation, the darkness that is in Israel. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the two most northern tribes that bordered on Gentile nations, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. This was written in 700 B.C. The Lord was to be that light. He was to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. I thank God for that light. Here he talks about the two most northern tribes, how close they are to the land of the Gentiles, in Galilee of the nations of the Gentiles. People that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. More than 700 years before it happened, he told them it would happen. And then, sure enough, in John, that scripture is quoted as being the light that came to the Gentiles. The absence of light in Israel, a nation in darkness. Genesis 1, 3, and 4. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. This is the creation of the world. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. There is a simple, basic, comprehensive definition of light that is not difficult to understand. And this is the biblical definition. Light is the absence of darkness. Light is the absence of darkness. Simple, but rather profound. And this basic definition is reversible for darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Those who receive the light that is in Christ Jesus, and when the arrow penetrates their heart, and when the light of God that is in Christ shines into their heart like a piercing arrow, when they receive that light, trust that light, ask that light to save them, knowing it is the light of God that is in the person of Jesus Christ, then that heart will forever be in light. But until that heart is broken and contrite, there is no way that the light will ever be received. At that instant in time in your life where you recognize, I'm sinful, I need a Savior, I'm going to hell without Him, and you put your faith in Christ, you have reacted to the light of God that is in the truth that is in Christ. The living Word, God Himself incarnate in Christ the man, His only begotten Son, shined unto Israel so that they might receive Him as the Son. But they chose to remain in spiritual darkness rather than to come to God's eternal light through belief in His Son. But that's not just true of Israel as a nation as a whole. Some of the Israelites did receive Him. Some of them did follow Him. Some of them suffered martyrs' deaths. Some of them were persecuted, went through trials because of their belief in Him. But the nation as a whole rejected Him. But that's always been true not only on a national basis, but also as an individual basis. among the Gentiles. Most of the Gentiles have not received him. But God's light shines into hearts when they hear the gospel. They may only hear it once, but when they hear it, God puts all the force of his convicting power in that light as it shines in to penetrate their heart. And they either choose to repent and acknowledge their sinful condition and put all their faith in Jesus as the only offering God will ever receive for their sins, and believe he is alive, and have enough faith to call on him and ask for salvation. John 1:13. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. There's a simple, basic, comprehensive definition of light that is not difficult to understand. Light is the absence of darkness. This basic definition is reversible for darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. John 1:1-13. In the beginning was the Word, the incarnate Word, God himself, incarnate in Christ. And the Word was with God, the Logos. That's why it's capitalized in the King James translation. And the Logos, God incarnate in Christ, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We didn't know that until Christ came, until his Spirit inspired John to write of him, until God manifested himself. Christ was hidden. Not hidden anymore. He's out in the open. We have no excuse. He's the living light of Almighty God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you don't have your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not trusting in him to take you to heaven. Your heart is spiritually dead toward God and filled with darkness. And there's nothing you can do to change it except to come to Christ, who is alive, and ask him to save you. That's when you receive the life. That's when, for the first time since you came into the world, your heart is suddenly filled with light. And there's a tremendous rejoicing inside, because for the first time you have been passed from darkness into light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Notice this capitalized. This is the incarnate light in Christ. This is the incarnate God in Christ. This is the living Son of Almighty God. This is the Logos. This is the Word. Same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. There's no other way. You've got to come through him, and you've got to come to him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, acknowledging, I need a Savior. And how much faith do you have to have? Well, if you know you need a Savior, there's only one. And you have to believe he's alive in order to call on his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he was not that light. John was not the Messiah. Jesus was. But was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light you have in you, the darkness, which isn't light, and the life you have, the physical life, you wouldn't even have that. God hadn't made a process through Adam where Adam could pass on physical life, but not spiritual life. And every man that cometh into the world, when they pass the age of accountability, God sends that light from his Son, in the face of his Son, by the power of his Son, through the Spirit of his Son, and it hits the human heart. And the human heart does one of two things with it. It either receives it or denies it. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The darkness did not comprehend the light. He came into his own Israel, and his own received him not. But there were some that did. John preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was sent to announce the Messiah, and some received him. And he called out his first New Testament church. They followed him for more than 3 years. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Authority. When God light shines in your heart, that's the authority. That's the right. When you're convicted and you know you need a Savior, that's just as surely as I'm standing here, even more certainly, that's the convicting power of the light of God in the person of Jesus Christ, and he's urging you, come on, come to me, come to me, come to me. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The only way you'll ever find rest from the convicting power of God's Spirit that lets you know you're under his condemnation is to come to Christ, not to me or to a church, but to Christ. You say, well, I can't see him. That's what faith is. You have to believe he's alive.